Blog Talk Radio.
Of our show tonight? 200 should give you a clue. That's right, folks, we broadcast 200 episodes of the Eastern Airlines radio show. Pretty impressive, we think, since some told us we would be off the air in our first year. And look at us now, into our fifth year of broadcasting excellence. As one very popular radio personality boldly claims, it's the Eastern Hour, or as we like to call it, the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. No other airline represents their former employees in providing a weekly voice about their company as we do here at EAL Radio Show. We bring you live talk with former employees, interviews with leading aviation authors, interviews with former and current presidents of Eastern, a little bit of airline humor, serious airline real-life drama as told by former Eastern people, projects such as First Flight to introduce the new company back into the air, and much, much more. It's been a trip for us here at the radio station. This is our way of keeping the memory of Eastern alive. Let's introduce our host for tonight's show. Neil, who do you see there on the producer's board?
Well, thanks a lot, Jim, and you stated it correctly. We are the radio voice of Eastern Airlines, and like you said, no other airline represents their employees like we do here. In our month of Monday shows every month now for 200 episodes. Let's see, it's always great to start off our show with saying hello to our host and guests, finding out what's happening in their part of the country and getting weather updates around the country. Weather seems to be getting a little bit better from what I heard right before the show. So let's start off way up there in New England, and then we'll work our way south. But as it cooled, or I shouldn't say cool, warmed up a little bit there, George Chin?
Well, it warmed up a little bit, Neil, but unfortunately, the Pope had to leave the Philippines because of the monsoon. And that's about what we had here yesterday. I think we had like 3 inches of rain, so we were really drenched. But that's gone past now, so now it's going back down the temperature again. So that's where we sit right now, on the way down.
Okay, I forgot to say you're out there on Long Island. And, yeah, I saw the football game yesterday up in New England, and it was raining up that area. So that whole area must be under rain.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, let's see. Let's move on down, and let's see, where is our next stop? Frank, are you with us, Frank? Well, Frank might be. I got to open some microphones here. We've got all sorts of area codes tonight. Frank Segnor, are you with us? Okay. Well, we'll continue on. Let's see, where's the next stop? Oh, I think I see North Carolina here on the board, and that would be none other than Steve Thompson. Hello, Steve. How's everything?
Hi, Neil,
and
hi,
part?
Listeners. Welcome again to another broadcast of the Eastern Airlines radio show. From up here in Roaring Gap, we've had a beautiful, beautiful day. Temperatures in the mid-upper 50s and not a cloud in the sky, no wind, and it's just absolutely beautiful. Neil.
Okay, let's move east across the state and then down to South Carolina, where it's none other than Gay Harvey. Hello,
don't
Gay
forget
Harvey.
Asheville.
I got Asheville. We'll come back across west. But I got Gay, thank you a lot. My geography's not too good tonight. Gay, hello.
Hello, how are you? Everything here in the Lowcountry is absolutely gorgeous. Finally drying out. Our yard is still flooded from all the rain, but it's absolutely beautiful today. People were hitting the beach.
Oh, my golly. That's great. Let's zigzag and go back across the state of North Carolina over to Asheville, North Carolina, where we see Jill Cotton. Hello, Jill.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing tonight?
Fine.
We've had an absolutely gorgeous day here in the 60s. And it looks like it's on board for another beautiful day tomorrow.
Very good. Oh, the weather sounds delightful. Let's move on down to, Ocala, a little bit south of Ocala. I don't know why I have to identify Ocala anymore with the villages, because I think the villages now is probably bigger than Ocala. And I've got Chuck Albright there in the villages. Hello, Chuck.
How you doing? Well, we're not quite. We're pushing about 113,000 on our way to about 130. Probably after 2016, I believe, is going to be the build-out for the villages here, and we'll have about 56,000 homes. We've had a beautiful day today. Right now it's about 66, and, of course, the sun has gone down. It's been partly cloudy today, but the 53 golf courses that we have were just literally crowded with all those snowbirds that you guys sent down here, especially from New York and Michigan and places that get really cold. But we had a great day today, and I think tomorrow and Tuesday we're going to have a heat wave. It's going to be 73. Back to you,
boy.
Neil.
Okay. Well, let's move southwest of you, Chuck, and drop in on Bill Joseph. Hello, Bill. Glad you can be with us again this evening.
Hi, Neil. Listeners, here on the west coast of Florida today, we were just a tad under 70 degrees. Chamber of Commerce weather. And just as Chuck said, it looks like we'll be warming up across the 70-degree mark tomorrow. Back to you, Neil.
Okay. Now, I think the last stop will be right there with you, Jim Hart, in West Palm Beach area. Hello, Jim.
Yes, Neil, we're so happy to have our 75-degree weather down here. I tell you, watching the Patriots game and seeing that rainfall up in Massachusetts, well, I can understand why those guys are flooded right now. Our weather here, as I mentioned, today was 75, bright skies, and just a beautiful day. I was working on my garage door all day today, but everything else is fine. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, very good. We can't call him a special guest anymore. Bill Joseph has been with us for several, many of our episodes. And again, Bill Joseph, so nice to have you back. And hope you'll be with our programs often. And you let us know when you can participate. We're always happy to have you on our show. And with us.
Thanks, Neil.
Yes, sir. Jim, how about telling us about the toll-free numbers and the number they can call in to talk with us on air?
Sure, Neil. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've listened to our past broadcast shows, you know that we can be reached online during our live broadcast. Our numbers, once again, are 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat these numbers, 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. Remember, when calling the show, make sure you press the number one button on your telephone if you wish to connect live with the show. Neil.
Okay, and just as a reminder to our listeners, you can tune us in two different ways, I suggest. One, by going to our website, the radio show's website, and that's www.ealradioshow.com. And there you'll click the arrow in the circle on the radio icon, or you can go to our sponsor, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association's website, and clicking the radio show's icon on the home page. Their site is www.repaonline.com. Repaonline.com. Jim?
Yeah, thanks, Neil. I think it's about time to start the engine for our show tonight.
Doesn't that sound
to chill up your spine?
Neil, what's our show about tonight? Well, that doesn't sound as good as a radio engine startup. I still like that one better. our show tonight has foul plugs. There you go. Our show tonight is a sequel to last week's show when we heard the following.
Flight attendants, we're now number one for takeoff. Please be seated.
With that announcement and the roar of the Boeing 737-800's two engines, along with 148 passengers shouting at the top of their voices, we're back in the air again. Eastern! The airline truly is back in business. Eastern First Flight Number 1 has reached its cruising altitude of flight level 350, 35,000 feet over the Atlantic Ocean, and on a vector to direct to San Juan by the Miami Center. The captain turns the fastened seatbelt sign off and picks up the cockpit microphone to talk with his passengers.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends and family of Eastern Airlines, it truly is a historic occasion for all of us to be a part of and witness the rebirth of this great airline, and on behalf of your entire crew, we want to welcome you aboard the first revenue flight of Eastern Airlines. Now, the weather along our route of flight is clear with only a few scattered clouds, and we're expecting a smooth flight as we are now experiencing now, so we're going to turn off the seatbelt sign to give you the opportunity to move about in the cabin if you need to. But we remind you that while seated, we request that you leave your seatbelts fastened for your comfort and safety. A late weather check at San Juan is just a few scattered clouds with a temperature of 82 degrees. Now, our route of flight is taking us down the Bahamas chain over Nassau, then to the Turk and Caicos Islands, Grand Turk, and Northern Hispaniola, which is the Dominican Republic and Haiti. Our flying time from takeoff to touchdown in San Juan is 2 hours and 4 minutes. And this will put us in San Juan at 12:29 Atlantic Standard Time. Now, if you wish to set your watches to San Juan time, it is now 10:15. We're flying today in the first airplane the new Eastern Airlines has taken delivery of, which is a Boeing 737-800. Now, our speed across the ground or water is 510 miles per hour plus a 35 mile per hour tailwind, making a speed of 545 miles per hour. Now, we'll burn 1,865 gallons of jet fuel. So for now, sit back and enjoy the fine service our flight attendants have planned for you, and we'll put out points of interest along the way. We're going to be sending our first officer back to answer any questions you may have about the aircraft and our trip to San Juan. Now make sure you ask some mechanical questions as well, because not only do we have a mechanical, just thought you might want to know that we not only can he fly this airplane, but he can also fix it as well, since he has an FAA mechanical rating.
Are you the first officer? The captain said you were coming back to answer a few questions. You sure are young to have such an important position.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm glad you think I'm younger than I really am. Age is important as far as the federal regulations require. But more importantly, it's the experience I brought from my former job with the United States Navy. I believe I was hired in the very first Eastern class. I was a Navy pilot for 8 years, serving aboard the USS Ronald Reagan during my last assignment. I was the command pilot of a Boeing KC-767. Aircraft used for aerial refueling. Do you have a specific question about the Boeing 737-800 we're flying today?
Well, I know it is a Boeing 737, but why did they attach 800 to the name of the aircraft?
Well, I see I have several folks here listening in, so let me tell you a little history of the Boeing 737. In late 1958, Boeing announced a design study for a twin-engine feeder airliner to complete the family of Boeing passenger jets. In February 1965, the first order was placed, and the project went ahead. The 737 has since become the best-selling commercial aircraft in aviation history. Here are some of the statistics which illustrate its success. The Boeing 737 is the best-selling commercial jet liner in history with, as of August 2013, orders for more than 11,150 aircraft from 265 customers. Over 7,700 737s have been delivered. On February 13, 2006, Boeing delivered its 500th 737 Southwest Airlines. Guinness World Records acknowledged the 737 as the most produced large commercial jet in aviation history. With approximately 5,500 airplanes in service, the Boeing 737 represents a quarter of the total worldwide fleet of larger commercial jet flying today. 31%, approximately 24,000 of all commercial flights are operated by 737s. More than 338 airlines in 112 countries fly the 737. On average, over 2,000 737s are in the air at any given time. On average, one 737 takes off or lands every 2 seconds. Boeing 737s have earned more than 16.8 billion passengers. That is equivalent to every single man, woman, and child flying at least twice. 2012 world population was 7 billion. Boeing 737s have flown more than 115 billion miles, equivalent to approximately 624 round trips from Earth to the Sun. Boeing 737s have flown more than 180 million flights. 737s have flown more than 257 million flight hours, the equivalent to one airplane flying more than 29,416 years nonstop. I sure wouldn't want to pay that fuel bill. The 800 series is what is called an NG, or next generation aircraft. The series began with 600s, then 700s, 800s, and 900 series. The 737-800 was shown on September 5th, 1994 at the Fairburn Air Show. Aircraft we're in was built in 2007, I believe. I could go on and on about how great this aircraft is, but by then we would have passed San Juan, and I think the captain might want me for a few chores before we land. Tim?
I have a question. What do you think of the company so far? I know you want to say you like everything, but what truly stands out in your mind?
I think it's management, the new personnel like myself, wanting to carry the name of Eastern proudly, as you former Eastern people did for over 60 years. The spirit that we feel moving us forward in our mission of being the very best airline as it was back then. Management shows itself determined to meet the goals, and all of us in all the positions with the company pick up on this and try to do our part as best we see and work with each other every day. Okay?
My question is the senior flight attendant standing next to you. Hello. Do you mind if I ask a question?
No, not at all. I'll try to answer as intelligently as our first officer.
Okay, thank you. What are you doing before Eastern chose you? And how did you get the job? I was once a flight attendant.
Well, the very basic is that applicants must be 21 years of age, have a high school diploma or equivalent, be able to swim without assistance, speak, read, and understand English and Spanish, and have a valid passport or equivalent travel document. I met those requirements, and in addition, I had previous experience with another airline that flew similar aircraft. They went out of business, and I was without a job just at the time Eastern announced they were hiring for the first class of flight attendants. I guess it was luck, really. I just feel very fortunate to have been chosen out of the 700 applicants. I had heard so much about the legendary name of Eastern Airlines that I was determined I was coming to work with a new Eastern, and I stand here to serve you just as you did back when you were given the opportunity to do the job.
I'd like to know from either of you, do you feel there is a real chance for the new Eastern? Do you think that eventually it will be as strong as the old Eastern was and that you'll have a solid career with the company?
I'd like to take a shot at that one. As you know, there are so many variables that determine whether a company will have a long or short life expectancy. I know the odds are in favor that it will be of short term, and that seems to be the primarily because of not being adequately financed. From our introduction to the new company by various members of management team, what we read or hear or see in the news media, it was a great planning and timing as when the company would enter the marketplace. It would not fly until it was time, as nearly stated by a grower of grapes, a fine bottle wine. It was and is, in my opinion, time for the new Eastern to fly its familiar territory, like we're doing today. To answer your question, I feel like I have a rewarding career here at Eastern. Like all first officers, I hope to be moving up to the captain seat, which is a less quickly.
The aircraft has been turned over to San Juan Tower, and the first officer switches over from San Juan Center to San Juan Tower.
San Juan Tower, this is Eastern First Flight 1. We're inbound and going through 10,000.
Welcome, Eastern. Good to have you back in our airspace. If you have visual on the airport, you're clear to land. Runway 8, the wind's from 070 to 090 at 10 knots. We hope this is going to be a permanent thing with you guys. Welcome back.
We do too, San Juan. Roger. That we cleared to land. This is the captain's first landing in San Juan, that is.
Yes, sir, you're cleared to land.
The aircraft touches down, and it's a grease job. It's obviously not the captain's first landing, as he made it look and feel so easy. The first officer changes over to San Juan Ground Control and is instructed to taxi to Concourse B, Gate 32, where dignitaries await the passengers and crew.
Well, that's our show tonight. And we are in San Juan, and perhaps we'll find out what's going on in San Juan once the press and the dignitaries arrive at the Intercontinental Hotel, and the celebration will be on for the new Eastern Airlines. I enjoyed the way you presented that, guys. It was a good show, and I especially like the sound effects. I don't know if you noticed that, but I worked a little bit on that. Every once in a while, I had the engines to stop, and I had to restart them there. Any comments about the sound effects?
Well, at least you got the right kind of engine this time.
Well, at least you got them running again. Yeah,
yeah, I got them running again. Just hit the right buttons. Okay.
It's only got one spark plug.
Yeah. But, you know, I could almost, with the sound of the interior noise of the being inside a commercial jet, it almost sounded like I was sitting there. But anyhow, it's fun to dream and try to visualize Eastern in the old days, and hopefully we'll just wish the new Eastern Airlines all the success, and we hope our first flight, which we are still shooting for March the 20th, it may be delayed to March 29th, but we'll find out more about that with our conference call to the company tomorrow. We hope to have a regular weekly conference with them to find out what's going on with the airplane, the certification of the airline, and whether it's still on track to finish up the last part of February. And we'll keep everyone posted about that. We do have a lot of...
I guess the certification of the pilots as well, right, Neil?
Yeah, they're in school right now. And I tried to get Mike Jennings, who is in the office there with President Ed Weigel, to give me some names so I could use them on the radio show, and he didn't want to do that, so we didn't use any names at all. And anyhow, yeah, the flight attendants are in training, and also the pilots are in training, and they are taking, I believe he told me, they're taking their pilot training at the Pan American Flight Academy there in Miami. We do have a lot of callers.
They don't call those link trainers, do they, Neil?
Yeah, they don't call them link trainers anymore, I don't think, Jim. I think that went out with the bellows and the little airplane with wings and the tail and elevators.
And the R2800.
And R2800s, right. Got a lot of area codes on our switchboard here tonight, so if you'd like to, anyone like to make a comment about anything. Bob Furman, are you with us tonight? I think I see 770, or it could be Sunny. Neither one. Okay, golly, I've got all sorts of area codes here, so if you have anything that you want to talk about tonight, I know Chuck has got several things that he wants to chat with us about. So, Chuck, floor is yours.
Well, thank you very much. This weekend up here in Ocala at their airport this week, they had a fly-in that was given by the Experimental Aircraft Association, Chapter 812, and they had a B-17 Flying Fortress come in, one of the few that's left anywhere in the world is flying. They call it the Aluminum Princess, and they brought it in for show, and some of the people from the villages here, we had a pilot who had flown 35 missions over Germany in one of them, and he was telling his story about how things got really rough there. They had to fly for almost 12 hours to reach their target and return, and he unfortunately he lost his last mission. He got shot down and he was in Stalag 7 for a while, but he made it through the war. And then there was a lady there who I believe she was in her 80s, getting close to her 90s. She was a ferry pilot and she got to fly a B-17 from the factory, and she was telling how they used women back in those days to fly the airplanes from the factory to wherever they were needed throughout the war effort. Also, at the same time, which was kind of a treat for everybody, they had a Ford tri-motor there. It was one of the few that's still flying, and it flew in, and it just happened to be because both of them are on different tours of duty, so to speak, and throughout the country. So that was one of the mainstays we had at the Ocala Airport this weekend. A little personal note, I've come in possession of the model planes of World War II. They're, some of them are plastic and some of them are metal, due to a friend of mine who passed away. So if anybody's interested in them, you can contact me through the radio show, or Neil can give out my phone number or my email address, and because I don't have room anywhere for them. It's quite a collection. It's probably about 15 or 16 airplanes, and they're in pristine condition. So let me know, and we can talk about them. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, very good. You know, I was just thinking.
I have a question for Chuck, Neil.
Yeah.
Chuck, the lady ferry pilot, they were called WASP, W-A-S-P. And I was privileged to know one of the ladies who lives in the Sebring area. Her name is Barry Smith. Do you remember if that was the lady who was at this show?
I'm sorry, I don't, because they just talked about a woman. The article I read did not give her name, but I can find out for you.
All right, yeah, that would be good. I just would like our listeners to know WASP, W-A-S-P, stands for Women Air Force Service Pilots. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was only in the last decade, I believe, that they were recognized as being very vital to the United States war effort in World War II. They were recognized by the federal government. Does anyone know any more about that?
Well, I happen to know a little bit about it. They had fought for years to be recognized because they felt that they had done their effort just like any other person in the war effort. And it did happen that Congress enacted, I guess it's some kind of a law or something, to allow the women to get benefits just like a veteran. And that was one of the great things that came out of the effort of these girls to be recognized. So a lot of them get the veterans benefits. Some of them actually, when they were ferrying the plane, especially over in the European theater I was reading about, didn't come into combat because the planes weren't loaded with ammunition. They were just ferried over empty, so to speak. So they kept them away from the actual war effort over there as far as flying into. And as far as I know, none of them ever got into combat. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody can bring us up to speed on something like that. But I know that they ferried all kind of planes, according to this article that I had read, fighter planes, bombers, transport planes, just about any plane that we manufactured, the girls actually got to fly. I guess some of the old girls that are flying today probably would be WASP. I don't know of any personally, but
you know,
maybe somebody out there on the radio might know one. Back to you, Neil.
At the Sebring Air Show every year, the last 3 years, and I don't know why I cannot remember her name, but she wrote a book, and she was a WASP, and she's got the picture on the front of her book when she was in service, and very, very pretty lady, pretty girl at that time. She was a girl, but now she's 93 years old, and she was at the show again to this past air show there in Sebring, and we chatted a little bit, and boy, it'd be great to have her on the station, on the radio show. And she drives her car and does her shopping and everything, and a very interesting person. And every time she's always in the corner of this large tent that they have for older folks like myself to sit down because it gets tiring after walking around the ramp there and seeing all that. But at any rate, great to chat with her, and she's always got a lot of people around her table there. I've got a
Neil, I think she lives in Avon Park,
yeah,
and I have a telephone number for her if you would like it.
Okay. Well, maybe you can email it to me, and I'll give her a call.
That's very good. Her name is Barry Smith, B-A-R-R-Y,
yeah, that's
Smith.
It. That's it, yeah.
Okay, I'll email you her telephone number, and that would be great to have her on. She
okay.
was my guest as the president of the Florida chapter of the 8th Air Force Historical Society. I've been president for quite a number of years, and she was a guest at one of our reunions.
All right, well, we'll do that.
Hi, Neil. This is Mary from Tennessee.
Hey, Mary.
I was just Googling while you guys were talking, and it says that some 25,000 women applied to join the WASP, but only 1,830 were accepted and took the oath, and only 1,774 passed the training and joined, and they lost 38 flying in the WASP. 38 died flying in the WASP.
Wow. Now, Mary from Tennessee, tell us your last name if you want to. You don't have to.
Oh, yes, Mary Block, B-L-O-C-K.
Oh. Okay, very good. Having with us tonight.
Hey,
okay.
Neil,
all
I
right.
have a question for you.
George.
Neil?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is the status of your book? I haven't heard you mention anything about it.
I'm glad you asked. We just finished it. And Howard and I, he's my 93-year-old buddy. He and I are having breakfast tomorrow morning, and we're going to see the best way of trying to market this, and we'll be putting it out. Seems like I've got a lot of background noise here. Hang on a second. I'm having some technical difficulties.
Mary, are you still on the line? Hello, Mary?
Yes, this is Mary.
Oh, good. Did you fly with Eastern at one time? Were you a flight attendant for Eastern?
No, I worked in the sales department. I was a sales rep, and I worked at the airport before I went into sales.
Oh, that's great. Where were you stationed?
I started out in Pensacola, Florida, then went to Kansas City, Missouri, and then to Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, that's great. I was a sales rep in Hartford, Springfield in 1960, I think it was, yes. And,
wow.
What a tremendous time we had, you know, telling all about Eastern and helping Eastern passengers. I guess you found that the same way.
I always tell people it was the most favorite job I ever had. They paid me to do my job.
I thought only pilots
That's
did
good.
That. You know, here's a question I'd like to pose, and I'm sure that you remember when you were hired and what you had to go through, but can you think of any of you guys, can you think of any particular thing that was kind of funny or scary or whatever about your interview and how you got your job? If anyone would like to just give us a quick little recap of what you went through when you first interviewed with Eastern and how excited you were when you got notice that you were hired. Any thoughts along those lines?
Who did our interviewing, Neil? Who was hiring the pilots about the time that I was there? I can't think of his name. And his son flew with Eastern.
Golly, I think that would be Moses. Moses.
No.
Moses. I knew his son. His son was right around my seniority, though, on the pilot seniority list.
Yeah. Come on, guys. We need some help on this. I can't
Well,
sleep
O.B. Bivens. O.B. Bivens hired
yeah,
me.
No. Kern.
Yeah, Frank Kern.
Frank Kern, and his son's name was, or maybe is.
Was Frank Kit Jr.? Kearns, was it?
Steve?
Was it Kit Kearns?
Bill?
No.
Bill's got some help here for you, Steve. Bill Joseph.
Well, I knew a Kearns. He wasn't a pilot, though. His name was Harry Kearns.
No.
He was in St.
No,
Louis.
No. They were both pilots.
Well, I flew with a guy out of New York. His name was
Carol.
Kit Kearns.
Carol.
Kit.
No. Carol Kearns.
No, that. Maybe that was it, but I think he went by a nickname, though.
Maybe what? He did, yeah. But he was senior to me, his son, I believe.
What do you remember about that time when you were hired, Steve?
Well, I had just left Piedmont, and I had a recommendation from Piedmont as a pilot for Eastern, which was a little bit different because back then you could not, as one airline could not recruit an employee from another airline in the same position. So that was something I didn't learn until I got in front of Frank Kern. So it was, I was just very, very happy, and I was also very, just got married. So we rented an apartment over on the river right there in Miami Springs, or I guess it was in Hialeah. And it was just a happy occasion. I just was, because there were two friends of mine who had Norm Bagwell for one, and there were some other pilots who I admired who were senior to me who had done the same thing from going from Piedmont to Eastern. Happy time.
How was it as far as Jill and Gay, when you, Gay, you were with Delta Airlines, were you not?
She may have.
Microphone.
Okay.
Okay, Jill.
Well, when I was hired, and I had just turned 19, and I had to wait until I got closer to my 20th birthday to be able to even start training. But I'll never forget that when I had gotten through my first interview, they told me that, you know, to expect, you know, a letter within the next 3 days. And, you know, I thought, well, boy, that, you know, and they ushered me out the door, and I said, well, I doubt if I'm getting a letter. But sure enough, I got the letter in the mail, and then I flew on Eastern from Pensacola to Atlanta for the second interview. And,
okay. And you checked into the villas?
I checked it. Well, when I checked into the villas, they didn't even have me listed because it had been so long. So I ended up having to, we were in the actual villa itself, in the villas, way out in left field next to the golf course. And it was quite an experience.
Bill Joseph, who hired Bill Joseph? Eddie Rickenbacker?
I wasn't that far back. Neil? You keep it
are
up, I'll be back there with Moses.
are the villas still there in Miami Springs?
Yes.
Wow.
They are.
Neil?
Yeah. Bill?
I was recruited off the campus at the University of South Florida to enter a management training program that guaranteed no job at the end of it. And I was selected. I had about 8 job offers out of college because I was older. I had my military behind me, and I was a family man. So when I joined Eastern, I reported out to the Tampa airport, and I circulated through all of the positions out there, the major positions like ramp service and passenger service, the ticket counter, what have you.
Hello?
Go ahead,
at
Bill.
The end of the 6 months, at the end of the 6 months training program, I was appointed as a station manager in Providence.
Wow!
Oh wow, boy, you really moved up fast.
And I went up to Providence, where the average seniority of the people working for me was about 10 to 12 years.
Oh my goodness!
And I had 6 months. And let me tell you something: when you go into that situation, the people make you. They're the ones that carry you. And they did.
Bill, do you remember in Providence Nick Malucci?
I talked to him quite often.
Yeah, I'm online with him once in a while. Nick and I started on the ticket counter at Hartford Springfield December 2, 1957.
Well, you know, later in my Eastern life, I was a station manager at Hartford for 13 years. I think I was there longer than anyone else.
Did you replace Hip Lloyd?
No, I did not. He was replaced two times before I got there.
Ah. Freddie Blackwell was in Hartford while I was there, and he was responsible for giving me a boost through the system.
There's a lot of people that came through that station and went on to other things, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
You know, guys, I've got, I don't know how many area codes on my board here. And if any of you guys would like to talk to us tonight and tell us anything that you remember about Eastern or whatever subject you want to talk about, please just charge right on in. I do remember when I was hired, O.B. Bivens, and I was in Seattle, Washington, going through the Constellation School. And O.B. Bivens called me and wanted to know if I wanted a job. And rather than Alaska Airlines, I said, certainly do, Captain. And he said, well, I'll get you to Chicago. You're going to have to find your way. I mean, you get to Chicago, and I can get you from Chicago down to Miami. So it all started with a call from Captain O.B. Bivens.
How about that?
And I had I had a chance to repay him. I was on the board of directors with the Retired Eastern Pilots Association, and I nominated O.B. for the Hall of Fame with the REPA, Retired Eastern Pilots, and he was accepted and gave a great great acceptance speech at his induction into the Hall of Fame. So I was glad I was able to do that. But he was very deserving.
You were speaking about your book before, but you got that was when you had the problem. What is the status of it?
Okay, the status is it's complete. It is complete, and the first order has been made. And we're going to try to do it this way, I think. People are going to contact me, and I have not set the price firmly yet. I know about what I'm shooting for. And there's a lot involved in pricing a book. Of course, there's the publisher's what the publisher requires to produce the book, and what the shipping of the books to me from the publisher cost, and then me shipping sending the book to the person that orders the book, but it's going to be around $14. And this is volume one. There is a volume two in the making, and these are just fantastic stories from the folks of Eastern, from the mail wing days all the way up to the time we went out of business. So I think you'll enjoy the stories, So you'll place the order online initially, and then, of course, you can go to Amazon.com and buy it there. And I think their pricing, they've got to add their percentage, and so it's around somewhere around $21. And that includes shipping and handling. And what I'm trying to offer it for is about $14, a little over $14, and that includes shipping. Also packaging, shipping it to you. But it's a great read. I think you'll really enjoy it. And so I'll be putting that out on a e-blast to all the members of the radio club, and then a little bit more about it maybe in the next show or so. So that's the status of it, George.
Thank you.
And
you know, Neil, I remember my flying partner in flight training when we were flying the Martin 404 to get our checkout. His name was M.C. Morgan. I don't know whether anybody remembers that name or not.
You're talking about Frank Morgan?
I thought he just went by M.C. Morgan, as I remember.
Did he have a mustache?
Don't remember that.
Okay, well, because there was a Frank Morgan, and he was on the conveyors when I first started. And Frank and I became real good friends. He was based in Atlanta. And was this guy based in Atlanta or Miami?
I don't remember. I don't know.
I think
Chicago.
Okay. Well, it was a different one, I guess. So many people over the many, many years, and someone was telling me about, I forgot who it was, I think it was, Jim Hamilton was mentioning the fact that he and his son took a trip together, and they went through Atlanta, Hartsville, or International, whatever they're calling it now, Atlanta International Airport, and his son is, I guess, probably around 40, I guess, and they were taking a trip somewhere. And he said, I want to show you something, son. He took him around Concourse C, and he took him over there where the plaques of all of the Eastern pilots are displayed on the wall in the Atlanta terminal. And he said it's kind of emotional to his son and to him also to see every pilot of Eastern Airlines, 6,700 and some odd pilots that are on that wall, inscribed in bronze or brass plaques. I forgot what color they are, but they're very impressive. If you ever go through the Atlanta airport, to make sure you go over and ask where that's displayed. Okay. Well, let's see. I can crank up the music, which I just did. And Jim, it sounds like the music in the background. And so how about thank you so much, guest and host, for listening to us tonight. And, Jim, how about putting episode 200 into the radio show's archive files? 200.
Certainly, Neil. Well, that's our show for tonight, folks. We'll be back with you next week, same time, same station. www.ealradioshow.com. And like one of our popular commercials for Eastern, we have to earn our wings every day. And we hope we are doing so here at the Eastern Airlines Radio Show. Next week, we hope you'll once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you more Eastern news, history, and talk with former Eastern employees and friends of Eastern. Be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m. when flight number 201 departs the gate for a new adventure into 2015. Be on board for the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. From all the gang here in our studio and remote locations, we all say all together now, good night and
good
happy,
night.
New Eastern
happy New
family.
Year, Eastern family.
Happy New Year. Please. See you next week.
Good night.